I'm afraid of cancer because it is out of control and could happen to anyone, anytime. Move it.
Yes. And the next?
I'm scared of cancer because it's horrible for people whether they live or die. I'm scared of cancer because the treatment is torturous and the person is terrified most of the time.
So, sweetheart, let's start at the top. There's only one thing more painful than cancer, okay? Put my thinking on this and begin to read.
I'm afraid of my thinking because it is out of control and could happen to anyone anytime. I'm scared of my thinking because the treatment is torturous. That's the work. And I am terrified most of the time. I hate my thinking because I worry that every new pain or change in my body could be it.
Cancer never did that kind of fear. Cancer just is. And without a story of what it is, it's nothing. This is the torture. This is the cancer. The next one.
Life is definitely better than death.
Can you really know that that's true? That's not my experience. They're equal. Life is better than death. Can you really know that that's true? We certainly harbored that one for a while.
No, I can't really know that.
Investigate. Life is better than death. Can you really know that that's true? Go in and know for yourself what is true for you. The world will give you their theories. What is true for you? What's the worst that could happen if you realized that life and death were equal? What's the worst that could happen? It's almost as though we have to attach to that concept or we'd kill ourselves. And I would ask, can you really know that that's true? That can take you in a while.
Yeah.
How do you live when you hold the belief that life is more valuable than death, or that life is not equal to death?
I'm scared a lot of the time, and I don't enjoy myself. Yeah. I don't enjoy my life.
Yeah. I know I am a lover of what is. Life, I love it. Death, I love it. You know, I'm a lover of what is. Because I found that when I argue with reality, it doesn't feel comfortable inside of me. It's a separation. So I see them as equal because I'm a lover of what is. So my husband's driving. There's this huge truck coming at us, and there's no way he can miss it. There isn't any way. It's not a possibility. And all I feel is joy. Just, it is incredibly exciting. But no more exciting than before the truck. And I just turn to him and I say, you know, sweetheart, look. And he just, and in the peace of that, he's able to miss it. But I scream and he can't, there's only fear in the car. It's blind. It's deaf. In the peace of peace, in the presence of peace, peace, it's the end of war.
I want that.
It doesn't scream, what the hell are you doing? You're killing me. It's, rapture. God itself unfolding every moment. Who would you be without this story that life is more precious than death?
I'd be open and peaceful and enjoying it all.
Yeah. You know, life and death are equal. I was born on the floor of a halfway house. It appeared. Itself lived. It was okie dokie the way it was. It's equal. The same. Let's look at the next.
I want cancer to be easily detected, easily and painlessly treated.
Hopeless. They say you've got it, you don't. You know, they say you don't have it, you do. You have the therapy for it, the chemotherapy, and then they say that's what killed you. Mm-hmm. You don't have the chemotherapy, they say that's what kills you. You have the chemo, they say that's what saved you. You do have the chemo, they say that's what saved you. You know, it's a squirrel cage, it's chaos. Let's turn it around and make some sense out of it. Put my thinking. This is as good as... If your thinking is peaceful, do you care if you have cancer? Do you even care? There's nothing to heal but to meet the thoughts that appear with some understanding. So let's do that.
I want my thinking to be easily detected and easily and painlessly treated.
Yes.
The work.
So it's easily detected. Pain will let you know. It's a built-in gift. And it's easily healed by investigation. It doesn't stop the thinking, and I'm not going to say that. If I say the thinking stops if you investigate, then people get a goal.
Right.
What I can say is if you meet the thoughts with understanding, it's the end of fear. So good the thoughts come. For me, in the desert, sitting in the desert, all of those months, weeks, years, if you put the whole sum total up, I wanted every thought. I may as well, here they came. So I would investigate. And until each one was met, I was no friend. People used to say I was too open. That wasn't my experience. I'm a friend. I'm a friend to the internal. It was only internal life. I met it there. Mm-hmm. And then everything anyone says in the whole world, on radio, on television, through television, in your family, in your churches, if you see one thing that is painful, investigate. Because we are you. When the mind is quiet, the world, as it turns out, is also your internal. So until the world's quiet, you're not quiet. And that's the peace. It's a natural thing to want to heal the world. But it's reverse. When I meet my thoughts with understanding, it gets very quiet. But then I hear you. You are my internal. It's a match. So I am here to serve you. Without end, without rest, that is the rest. And if you like what you have, which can be a terrifying thought within you, if you want that, I love you. I want what you want. There is nothing to heal. I know the power of pain. I know the gift of pain. So rather than look at yours, I healed my own. Now I can be with you without condition, without the condition that you heal in any way. I love you. You can die forever. in the fire. And until you ask, I love you without condition, you don't have to get out of the fire. That's love. And if it appears as attractive from here, you may ask. And that asking, the door is open and then it can penetrate. No door. It's just a solid wall. I wait. That's love. In my experience. Let's look at the next one.
I want cancer to be always curable or completely preventable.
Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless.
I want my thinking to be always curable and completely preventable.
Possible, in my experience.
Okay. I want to know in my heart that God is everything, even cancer.
You need to know that. Can you really know that that's true? Just one more dogma concept.
It is.
Just one more sweet concept. How do you live when you hold the belief you should know that God is everything, even cancer?
I live like I haven't arrived.
Can you see a reason to drop this myth?
Yeah.
Can you see one good reason to keep the attachment to the story that is not painful?
Well, what's going on is that by holding on to that, I feel like I'm moving toward it.
And how does it feel?
Frustrating. Yeah. No, there isn't any reason.
Who would you be without the story?
I would just be here where I am.
That's my experience. Let's look at the next.
Cancer shouldn't be so difficult and painful for people and families.
Is that true? What's the reality of it?
Oh, the reality is that it is difficult and painful for people.
Yes. It's not the cancer. It's people's thinking about cancer. And some of us don't know that yet.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So turn it around, my thinking.
My thinking shouldn't be so difficult and painful for people and families.
Yeah. That's what invades family. Cancer never did that kind of destruction. The next one.
It shouldn't cause a long, slow, horrible death.
My thinking?
My thinking shouldn't cause a long, slow, horrible death. That is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shouldn't have killed my friend Jimmy, who is such a good person.
Cancer should not have killed your friend Jimmy. Can you really know that that's true? What's the reality of it?
It did.
It did. How does it feel when you attach to the concept that would argue with what is?
That the world is a scary place.
That and God is a scary masochist.
And God is scary.
Yep. And if you're not good, you're next.
Yeah, one never knows.
Yep.
Like that. Yeah.
Can you see a reason to drop this, the attachment to this concept?
A reason to drop the attachment. Yes, 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 yes.
Can you see one good reason to keep attachment to this story that is not painful? Jimmy died too young. Is that true? Boy, that's an old one. He didn't live out his life. Can you? I mean, that's insane. Of course he did. That's it. It's crazy. He died too young. That's crazy. He died at exactly the right moment. And what do you get when you attach to these old, ancient, it's mythology. It was in books for children. It's not real. The way that we know it's not real is we lose our connection with Source when we attach to them. It's the opposite of what is true and loving. And the arrogance that says God is inept and should surely listen to me. God, he died too young. No, you're not listening. No, listen to wisdom here. You know, he died too young. His, the world would be better with him, God. It's pure arrogance to attach to these thoughts and the tears that come with it. It has to be all of this emotion or we lose the dream.
It's like a tragedy. You know, life gets to be tragic and there's this,
and unfair.
And unfair.
Yeah. Yes, honey.
I just had the thought, did Christ die too young?
I don't think so. Yeah, he died at all. He died at all. Can you really know that that's true? I look at you and I don't think so. Feel it. I don't think so. So, sweetheart, let's turn it around.
My thinking shouldn't have killed my friend Jimmy, who is such a good person.
How many times did he die?
Every time I thought about him.
Yeah. He died once, and you killed him over and over.
Yeah.
You crucify yourself in his name. You crucify him in his name. Yeah, and God. To argue with what is you lose. You feel it. Yeah. So I like to say I'm a lover of what is, not because I'm the spiritual being, but because I'm just a woman that knows the difference between what hurts and what doesn't. Simple. Let's look at the next.
It shouldn't have put Sally through such a hellish nightmare.
Cancer should not put people through hellish nightmares. What's the reality of it?
It does.
That's the story. Cancer is putting people in. Okay. So what happens when you attach to the story that cancer is putting people through hellish nightmares? How does that feel inside of you?
Same thing. Just scared, and it validates all of this other.
That could be how people get cancer. The mutation from being so far away from connection to what is true for you. Can you see a reason to drop the story? People who have cancer that find what you're stepping into don't care about cancer anymore.
Yeah.
I like to work with people who are who think they're on their deathbeds. We have a lot of fun.
Hey,
yes.
Okay. All right. This is a story. There's a man who fell over a cliff, and as he was falling to his death, the last minute he lunged and grabbed this branch that was sticking out from the side of the cliff, and he's hanging precariously over this huge precipice. He says, "Oh God, you know, please help me. This is my hour of greatest need. If you'll only save me." And then this voice comes and says, "Let go." And he stops for a minute and says, "Is there anyone else up there I can talk to?"
So to hang on to the branch is terrifying because we're projecting the fall. That's confusion. To let go of the branch is to lose the choice. And that's the freedom. Once you know the branch isn't there and you're falling, there's peace. Confusion is wanting two things at once. Letting go of the branch is less terrifying than hanging on and thinking we had a choice. Doesn't matter if someone comes to help us or not, hanging on to that branch, thinking that I have a choice. If I'm hanging on to the branch, good I fall, good I don't. I'm a lover of what is. But to project the fall is to miss the branch.
Yeah.
Is to miss the love of the branch, of just the hand, the whole thing. To project it would be to keep me from the gratitude of just breathing in the moment. We come to see that we don't even have a choice about hanging on to the branch or not. That we're not even doing that. Investigation. Let's look at the next.
I need to know I'll never have it, and I need to know that no more of my friends or family will ever have it.
Hopeless.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Because it could be true that no one has cancer. It could be true that everything is just what is. God. God is everything, but not cancer. God is everything. Cancer is medicine. And we call it enemy. Everything is good. We attach to a story about life is not equal to death, and there's terror.
Yeah.
That health is superior to cancer. That's terrifying because everyone gets sick. And we keep trying to beat it, and it never happens as it should be. That only leaves self-realization. And in the peace of that, there's no sickness, and there's no death, and there's no pain, and there's no sorrow. It's all been just a dream. Let's look at the next dream.
Cancer is out of control, terrifying, treacherous, deadly, and painful.
No, it is what it is, and it's on its perfect course. It's beauty. It's nature. It's love. And a story only serves to keep us from the awareness of that. To keep us present as the experience of it. So let's turn it around, put my thinking on it, and let's see what is as true or truer for some of us.
My thinking is out of control, terrifying, treacherous, deadly, and painful.
Especially around cancer.
Yes. Yes, that is true.
Isn't that true? Cancer never caused that kind of chaos. Not ever. Cancer is peace, except for the story we would tell about it. Yes, sweetheart.
Yeah. But, okay, like, there is no thought here, but there are sensations in my body when I have pain. It's no story, no thought, but there is a sensation that is not comfortable. And I cannot call...
What do you experience in your whole life? A feeling that's not comfortable. That's what the work is for. Go ahead. Continue to talk. I understand it.
I mean, pain is separated than thought. It's a sensation in the body.
Pain is not separate from thought in my experience. You're much quieter. You're unrecognizable, Angel. I love that you're here. I don't know what it feels like on the inside. And it is so sweet to meet with you again.
just maybe I need just to be here. Pain a lot. I treat people who've had chronic pain for years.
Yes.
And I need to know what it is you're saying when you say that pain is not real and it's connected to
thought. I didn't say it wasn't real. It's real to the person experiencing it or observing it.
Well, I'm very afraid of pain myself. And
yes.
So is there a way to deal with it on a thinking level?
Not in my experience.
By doing the work, can people eliminate physical pain?
As close as I can tell it in my life is pain used to be on top and everything was underneath it. Now, pain is on the bottom. You know, it's underlying. This always overrides. And it's nothing more than clarity.
But you're able to experience physical pain still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You had to clear that one up.
It just doesn't have anything to do with me.
Okay.
I have to say that this may not be easy to hear. I'm going to try to describe it. It's God, I love it, I kiss it, and it's not nothing that I'm doing on purpose. It is itself, I love.
Pain.
It's what is. What could there be that I wouldn't love? It's not that I wouldn't scream and cry or howl, I don't know. It's just not my experience the last 13 years. It's amazing to have something like some injury where blood is gushing and be delighted. You know, where you don't even know if maybe the limb's there or not. You just, it's what is. I'm a lover of what is. It's who and what we are without a story. And in the peace of that, we know where to go, what to do. You know, there's not, oh my God, I hurt myself. You just get on the phone, you call 911. It's just, you know, you just, it's itself doing what it does. It knows everything, but it's without the suffering. It does what it always does, there's just no suffering in it. So you can have pain and suffering, or you can just have pain. Simple.
Great, that's great.
Yes.
Can I work with you after lunch up there?
I would like that.
Thank you.
Welcome. Naheed, and this is common with people in the work, Naheed said, she was running a fever. She's at your service totally. She doesn't stop. And last evening she said, this is the first time I have been sick like this and not suffered. Those weren't her words. They were much sweeter than what I just said. It just didn't matter. The joy didn't stop. She didn't go into the story of sick. It just comes to pass not to stay, huh, honey? Anyone else? Yes, honey.
I have a friend who has a broken body story.
Uh-huh.
And every time I see him, I say, how are you? And he always says, excellent. And I once said, sometimes I believe that everything is not excellent with you. And he said, there are circumstances that are excellent, but it has nothing to do with my being excellent.
Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, honey.
Katie, I understand what you're saying, but there is that thought that says, if I feel the pain and I'm in this, God-conscious state that you're describing, then maybe I won't call 911, or maybe I'll think, like people may have had the experience of being on drugs or intoxicated, or, oh, look, I'm bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go on doing what you were doing, there's this fear that isn't it the fear that makes me respond? Isn't it the panic? Isn't it the worry?
I love that. So without internal war, no goodness can come. That's what this says. Without fear, we cannot get a result. That says that only war is valuable. So when we hold that fear and say, without the fear, I'm not going to be safe or alive, then we're saying, the way I describe it is like saying, for the world to end war, as long as we have the biggest bomb. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it, but we're not going to live it. So if I hold the belief you're talking about and use fear to be safe, then I'm saying that war is the way. War is the only way. Violence is the only way. So my experience is, here's my experience. I'm intact. And I go places that my family do not like me. The first 3 years, I went places that they were not okay with them. And I'm intact. There were some men. My husband and I were in an area where there were some men threatening people with violence. They were pounding on their vehicles and scaring them and all kinds of frightening things for people. And I knew if I walked that direction that their attention would turn to me. They were trying to get money from people, and until they rolled down the windows and gave them money, they wouldn't let them go. And I knew that if I walked the direction, it came to me to walk. And I knew that their attention would go toward me, and inside of me, can I really know that that's true? You see, but it's not a mental thinking out. And I walked that way, and their attention did come. And by the time, I don't know, an hour later, by the time my husband found me, we're all sitting on a curb, they're sitting in my lap, all these men, they're crying, they're telling me the story of their wonderful families, their children, how they haven't seen them in 30 years, and the sorrow, what it's like to live on the streets. You know, the worst that can happen is truth. I'm intact, and I walk in truth. But it's not so that I can be safe. I just don't hold the concept that life is more valuable than death. And it's not something I do on purpose. I've just investigated. It's who I am without a story. I'm very clear when it's needed about where to go, what to do, because it's not I doing it. I love that you brought that up, because that's our fear. Without this, without fear, we would not be safe. Mm-hmm. Quite an illusion. It's the great setup. It's a mirror image. It's backward. With fear, I'm not safe. And we can feel that. It's so obvious. In peace, do you care if you live or die? I mean, when you're asleep, no story running, there's no one to care if you wake up. There's no one to know even if you did, you know, you woke up or not. Well, that's what it's like without a story, only it's itself lived sweetly, asleep or awake. It's a most amazing thing, this self-realization. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Katie?
Here, there's one standing here, honey.
I was never afraid of getting cancer. And 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I have to tell you, it was probably the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I went into like 3 days of total fear. And then I just somehow met it. And I dropped with the cancer. because I knew that my life might not go on and on and on and on, I kind of dropped the story about my shame and guilt. And it was the most amazing thing, because I just had self-hatred my whole life, I just wanted to share that. But actually, I wanted the mic because I want to be on the list to do the work with you, Katie.
Thank you, Angel. Good.
Carlton.
Somebody was asking about doing the work, does it make pain go away? And my experience is doing the work made an awful lot of pain go away. That's what it seemed like, that the apparently a lot of the beliefs I held were manifesting physically.
It's as though who we are without a story is painless.
Seems to be that way. And about pain, like, pain still comes, but in my mind, what's removed is something that used to say it was wrong. So maybe I get a cut. The mind doesn't say that's wrong, it just says there's a cut.
Yes.
I feel something, and I'll do something, whatever seems like the right thing to take care of it, but
that's a great description.
And the other thing, talking about the cancer, I heard in my head, it said something about, you know, you read this or you hear it on the radio, they died of natural causes.
And everyone does?
Yeah, as if cancer was not a natural thing or, you know. Now, of course, I would like to die of natural causes, too.
If someone murders me, I died of a natural cause.
Yeah, you know, if the plane fell out of the air with you in it, that would probably be natural too.
Cause. So good to see you again. Katie, I've been waiting for an opportunity to mention this. As you know, I've been answering singles ads for 15 years, and I'm happy to report that I met the first man in my entire life that I think is right for me, and we just had the best 5 dates, and I wrote all the stories. He's perfect, and I have my list of the 33 qualities I want, and he has them all. And then on the 5th date, I asked him how long he thinks he's going to live, and he says, he looked kind of weird at me. I said, well, I'm going to live forever. He said, well, I'm HIV positive. So since then, that happened about a month ago, I've been obsessing in my head for a month what to do, and I made the decision right then to not go forward with the relationship, and I'm still obsessing about what I should do, even though I made that decision. Can you give me any feedback on
it? Well, I'm hearing he was the perfect relationship, and you walked away.
Yeah. It was a perfect story. I didn't know him well enough to know if he... Now we're friends.
According to you, he was the perfect relationship, and you walked away.
Okay, but since then, we're friends, and I see him all the time, and...
I hear you still have the perfect relationship.
Well, he's not that in. I don't think that he's into me to have this relationship, so I'm kind of off the hook. You know what I mean? But I'm not off the hook in my mind, so I don't know if he's not.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear you had the perfect relationship, and you walked. You changed it.
So I should have had sex with him.
Only if you want HIV.
Well, he says he's one of the 10% of men that don't pre-ejaculate, so he can come inside. He can have sex with women and not come inside them. And
that's a good one.
And he doesn't pre-ejaculate, so they don't get AIDS. And he's had AIDS for 7 years, and he's been with lots of women, and they without condoms.
I love the part where he has
AIDS.
I love the part where he has AIDS and he is having sex with women.
Without condoms, right. So I should be that fearless, that all these other women are able to not be fearful.
Sweetheart, I am that fearless, and I wouldn't even go there. I'm not insane anymore.
Oh, you mean even you wouldn't? So you're saying...
You wouldn't have sex with him either without a condom.
I'm not insane anymore.
It would be insane to have sex with him without a condom?
If someone says you have HIV right. and I want to have sex with you,
right.
I'd say turn it around.
Okay.
Sweetheart, if I have HIV
right.
and I care about you, I will not have sex with you. It's a turnaround. If you have HIV and you want me to have sex with you, then, you know, there's nothing I have to say here except do the work.
I want someone to explain to me this. I don't want to take any more time because let me ask you one thing. How about sex with a condom? Would you have sex with a condom?
Sweetheart, here's someone with HIV. Let's ask him.
And I want other people to help me during this break.
My name is Divinity. I have HIV.
Okay, I'm an expert. I had sex with someone who was HIV positive, and I was fearless, believe me. And I was exposed to the virus, and I didn't have the work to know, to go inside, that I couldn't love myself enough to say no. I was pleasing him, and I didn't even want to have sex with him. But I couldn't say no, so I put myself at risk. Why? Because I did. That's number one. And number two, because I didn't love myself enough to say no. And I suffered.
So look what he will do
Anything.
For approval.
Death.
He will even say yes to that.
So the truth is, I just want you to know that I care about you enough to have to say to you that if I could do it again, I would, number one, say no when I mean no, and
not die for approval?
Yeah, I've been looking for approval all my life, and I found it. And I suffered for it. And I lived for 10 years waiting to die because I thought the virus was killing me. And until I worked with Katie, I came to know that my thoughts were killing me, not the virus. But I want you to know how powerful my thoughts were. You know, I got up every day waiting to die
yeah.
because I wanted approval so badly. I wanted to be loved. I wanted it so badly, Marina. And I got what I deserved. Is it true?
I would say yes, sweetheart. It brought you to you.
It brought me to me, and it also brought me to Katie. And for that, I am most grateful.
Okay.
Yes.
And from here, the same, Angel.
Yeah, I love you very much.
And you.
Thank you.
So, sweetheart, I hear you had the perfect relationship and you walked. The perfect relationship looks like sex. Can you really know that that's true?
No.
Good.
I just thought, I wrote this to Michael. Michael, you told me yesterday that you heard that I am homophobic. Where's Michael? Oh, there he is. Hi. Yeah. It is true. I was taught homophobia, racism, anti-Semitism, etc. at a very young age. They became a part of my illusionary life, my dream.
Sweetheart, let's stop a minute.
My nightmare.
You were taught that.
Yes.
Okay. Did you feel it was off when you were a kid? Did it feel a little off to you? Like not natural?
Yes.
Okay. So you attached to it to get what from your teachers?
Approval.
Yeah. So they taught you homophobia, turn it around.
I taught myself homophobia.
Can you hear this?
Yeah.
No one taught me homophobia. I taught me that to get their approval. Go back to the beginning. You knew. You knew.
Okay. Without awareness of those parts, they will not be a part of my undoing of illusion. You are me. You are love. I am you. I am love. In illusion, I am homophobic, anti-Semitic, racist. In reality, I cannot be. Only in reality. I love you, Michael. Mm.
Thank you.
Tim, are you here, honey? Here, Tim, honey, would you bring your guitar up?
I'm not very clear about the next one. If I see myself acting for approval and love, and I see it sometimes very clearly.
You may want to stop for your sake and rest in peace.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
You don't change it.
You may just want to stop doing that for your sake and rest in peace. Michael has done some amazing work at this. He came to the center and he came at me. I mean, I guess if Guy had a gun, he might have blown my head off and I wasn't going there. And he dropped into that space and we get to see the possibilities through Michael of integrity.
Oh, so
he stopped right in the middle. He stopped and he says, I'm noticing.
I understand. Thank you.
Good, Willie. Okay, sweetheart, let's look at the next one.
Okay, this is the last. I refuse to spend my healthy life being afraid of this.
I'm willing.
I'm willing to spend my healthy life being afraid of this.
Yes, because that's very fearful. It can put you back into the work.
Yeah.
I look forward to
spending my healthy life being afraid of this.
Yes. And the next?
I refuse to be afraid that the fear of it can cause it.
I'm willing.
I'm willing to be afraid that the fear of it can cause it.
I look forward to.
I look forward to being afraid that the fear of it can cause it.
Yeah. The fear of cancer can cause cancer. Can you really know that that's true?
No.
And what do you get for attaching to that concept that is not true for you?
Well, then not only is cancer scary, but then being afraid of it is scary. So then fear becomes
cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can you see a reason to drop the story? Fear can cause cancer.
Yes.
Can you see one good reason to keep the story, fear can cause cancer, that is not frightening? Who would you be without the story? Fear causes cancer.
Free to feel.
Yeah. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
A woman walked up to me not too long ago and said, I have cancer. I said, good. Very hard to hear. Mm. She said it was a great relief for her.
Yeah.
We all know that what is. And what is good. Hmm? Just waiting for some permission for one to live it. So, feedback. You know, and I'm not saying good, someone gets cancer. I'm saying what is. I'm a lover of reality. Silly me, sometimes it just slips out. Any comments? Yes, sweetheart.
Do I have to sin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sweetheart, you just give so much.
Yeah, you know, I'm struggling with that, Katie, because...
you're supposed to.
My sister was diagnosed with lymphoma, brain tumor, lesions, cancerous lesions, and my first thought was to say, when I found out, this is good news. In fact, I did say something, this is exciting, good news, something to that effect, and I got... almost a hostile response.
Yes, you would.
And
which didn't surprise you.
It didn't surprise me. Yeah. But what it did for me was I went into that place where I need to be the good little boy and speak another lie and say, well, what I did was I apologized for my words, thinking, how could I be so cruel to acknowledge something so horrific as good news or good news? So I'm struggling with that, Katie, and I maybe...
Okay, so it's not, like when you say good, they think, you think good, they have cancer.
Yes, that was their perception.
And that's not it. But what happens when you say good, you're defying their concepts about this is not paradise, that earth is hell. So when you say good, you're challenging all of you're challenging the world. And we would rather, well, you know, none of it's true. But we're going to shun you. We're going to crucify you. We're going to rip you to shreds if you disagree with our story. Because our story, we think, is our security, when in truth, it's the opposite. It is our insecurity. So people in the work begin to get their communication down to just clear with understanding. And then eventually it begins to take on its own fingerprint. And it's just pure love. And we're down to, a lot of us are down to, I understand. I hear you and I understand. What can I do for you? I'm here if you need me. Just simple language. Only we're not coming from a motive. Yeah. It's just amazing. We're just coming from, it's not a choice. There's no other life.
As in good news.
Good news.
This is good information.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question first, Katie, about
it. Yes, sweetheart.
Do our stories affect our life?
Your stories are your life.
Okay. Then
it's your only life.
All right. Then if you share some stories with people that would affect their life positively, just like a good dream makes a person feel happy and a bad dream can actually kill them, it can affect their physiology, then why not share good stories that work?
I think that's I think you like you when you do that.
People who experience healing.
Sweetheart, who would you be if you mentally stayed out of other people's business?
I would be a non-intruder, a non-button pusher, that I am. Thank you. L'chaim.
To mentally be in my own business when I noticed the three kinds of business. My experience was I found that I had at no time had a life, an internal life. When I mentally left the business of the world, I found an inner life. It was like it was stepping into a whole other, it was to die and leave the world. It's the time. And then I came to see that people appreciated, like my daughter appreciated so much me being mentally out of her business that I began to give me the same consideration. So I lost my business. Yes, sweetheart. Well,
I've been sitting here with the microphone for a couple minutes and I keep changing what I want to say. And I just find it very inspiring to be here. This is my first weekend doing the work. And I have a should that I should stand up and asked to work with you today, and the feeling of that if I didn't get past my fear and stand up and ask, I would go home and feel really shitty about myself. So I wanted to just to take that opportunity.
Thank you,
since
sweetheart.
I'm here.
So stay in my face.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Yes, sweetheart.
I just wanted to make a comment about cancer several years ago. I had a biopsy, and cancer doesn't run in my family, so when they said it's malignant, and I was sort of coming out, you know, the twilight zone. I thought, well, God, maybe now I can get some rest. So I changed my life.
Isn't that fine? Yeah. The worst thing that can happen is a thought, and the best thing that can happen is a thought. Nothing other than that has ever happened.